Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, West Seattle. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 8. I'm actually recording this a little later. The last time I taught on this, we were actually at Camp Long at our All Church Picnic and Fun Day. But I thought I'd get it recorded so we can get it online. Now, last week, or I should say a few weeks ago now, we studied that after Jesus taught in the temple courts and he was leaving the temple complex, that his disciples called his attention to the beauty of the temple and the massive stones that it was built with. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 6, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So Jesus and his disciples then walked over to the Mount of Olives, where they asked him, they said, "But when will these things be? And what will be this, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And after Jesus explained to them, he said that there would be armies that would surround Jerusalem. There will be a time of vengeance that would take place. As we studied earlier, how in 70 AD, in an effort to put down the Jewish revolt against Roman rule, began approximately 4 years early in about 66 AD. The Roman legions, numbering about 30,000, came on Passover of that year of 70 AD and laid siege to the city, cutting off anyone entering or leaving the city. The siege lasted for about 5 months, during which there were bands of Jewish gangs that formed and were stealing food and looting the wealthy until the Romans broke through the walls of the city and killed over 1 million people and took about 95,000 people captive. Fortunately for a number of Christians who were in the city when the siege started, at a prayer meeting, they remembered Jesus' words, and being warned by the Holy Spirit to flee the city via the east gate, they fled and found the gate to be unguarded by the Romans, in which they were able to escape the catastrophe that then ensued. Now remember, Jesus told them in Luke chapter 21, verse 20 and 21, he says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her." Now the temple was completely destroyed, and in an attempt to glean all of the gold that had melted into the cracks of the stones from the fire that the Romans had set, which the inside of the temple was lined with these cedar paneling, so it just went up in flames. The Romans completely dismantled the temple, not leaving one stone upon another, exactly as Jesus said would happen. Now, we also studied about how in 135 AD, on the heels of another rebellion against Jewish rule, a Jewish general led by Shimeon ben Kosheba, better known as Simon Bar Kokhba, and Bar Kokhba means son of the star, who they viewed as the Messiah, was defeated by the Romans, and the city of Jerusalem was once again laid waste. And in fact, Roman historian Cassius Dio, as I mentioned last week, stated that about 580,000 Jews were killed in this war, and about 50 fortified cities and 985 villages were razed, meaning just leveled. Afterwards, the Roman Emperor Hadrian changed the name of Israel to Palestine in a further attempt to humiliate the Jews by calling Israel the name of their ancient enemies, the Philistines. Of course, that name stuck for quite a while. People still call the place Palestine. It's Israel, not Palestine. Again, all of this happened exactly as Jesus said it would. So now we're going to study what Jesus said would happen prior to his return. So if you're not there yet, please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 8. Let's pray before we study. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we study your word, that you would give us wisdom, you would give us insight, and you would give us application. May we be doers of your word and not hearers only. Speak to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 8, and it reads, "And he said, take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, with famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. What we're studying here parallels what is recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. Now, the end that Jesus is talking about is the end of our sin-dominated world and the judgment that God will bring upon this world during the time known as the tribulation period. Now, this tribulation period is a seven-year period that follows the rapture of the church. Rapture means the church will be taken off the earth to be with the Lord. Talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll get into that more in later studies. Now, it begins with a covenant that the Antichrist will make with Israel to rebuild its temple. This is an event prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And it reads this. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Now, the tribulation period is divided up into two 3.5-year segments. It begins with, again, the Antichrist making this covenant. But in the middle of the tribulation, this 3.5-year period, the Antichrist will outlaw all forms of worship except the worship of him, of himself, the Antichrist. Then he's going to place an image of himself in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, so that he and he alone is the only one to be worshiped. Now, the Antichrist will also have a worship leader, better known as the false prophet. He's going to direct people in the worship of the Antichrist and will also require that all people, every person around the earth, everyone on the planet, receives a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, or else they won't be able to buy or sell anything. Now, the tribulation, it's important to understand this, is God's wrath that is being poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. Did you get that? God's wrath being poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. And because it's the wrath of God, we as Christians will not go through the tribulation. It's very important to understand. And here's a really important verse that every Christian needs to know well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that again, just in case you missed it. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian, you're not going to face the wrath of God because Jesus took our wrath upon himself. And that's what happened on the cross. God poured out his wrath on Jesus. And that meant God, Jesus took the wrath that was would have been meant for us and took it upon himself. Now, the wrath begins at the start of the tribulation. This is why a mid-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulational rapture, or a pre-wrath rapture, you'll hear all those terms, will not occur. The rapture will take place before the tribulation, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in the sermon. Now, Jesus here tells of world events that will lead up to and through the tribulation. Let's look at some of these events. First of all, there's going to be false messiahs. We see here in verse 8 of Luke 21. And he said, take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. So again, just like those who came before Jesus, we talked about last week, and immediately following, false messiahs will come on the scene, and we've seen a number of them come and go. And there's a number, again, even today, who claim to be the Messiah. So it's important, these words here, and for us to really take heed, because he says, take heed that you not be deceived. And there's many other ways to be deceived other than following a false Messiah. There's these pseudo-Christian cults, pseudo meaning false. There are a lot of them out there. For instance, we have some of the biggest cult here is actually Islam. Some say it's a major world religion. Well, you could argue that. I think it's a cult because it combines two religions, such as Judaism and Christianity, and adds its own spin on things. And so I look at it as a cult, and it's the biggest one out there. According to a PBS report, there's about 1.2 billion Muslims that make up approximately one quarter of the church world's population. And now the Muslim population of the United States outnumbers that of Episcopalians. Well, no surprise. And the most popular Muslim countries are countries like Indonesia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and India. And one thing that's interesting, wherever there's Islam, where it's a dominant religion, you have oppression, you have abject poverty, you have a very much a class status. It's not a religion of peace, jihad, all that stuff, not at all. And they have their own text, the Quran, which was supposedly given to Muhammad by an angel. Now, again, I view it as a cult because it takes from both Judaism, Christianity, perverts it, twists it, and puts their own thing into it. Now, the next one is probably a very insidious cult that is going on, and you're all probably familiar with it, Mormonism. It has about 17 million people worldwide, so far smaller than Islam. But they also take Christianity, and they pervert it, they twist it, they have a different God, a different Jesus. Now, if you talk to them, they'll make it sound like, well, we believe in God the Father, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and all that, but they believe that God was once a man who evolved to be God, and that we can also, as men, women you don't get to, evolve to be God and then be God of our own planet. They also believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. And they, of course, have their own text as well, called the Book of Mormon, that was supposedly given to Joseph Smith or revealed to him by an angel. So there you go. We'll talk more about that as well. And for you women, you get to be eternally pregnant so that you can produce all these spirit babies to inhabit the planet that your husband gets to be God of. Now, it's interesting, and I say this about an angel. Two of the major cults in the world, Islam and Mormonism, came about, or the text came about, through revelation by an angel. Now, this is important because when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says this, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Did you get that? 2 Corinthians 11, 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Now, that should wake a lot of people up that, you know, there's a lot of people that say angels reveal to them different things. Well, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's probably Satan himself or a demon or something like that. Again, he masquerades as an angel of light. Now, the next cult we have here is Jehovah Witnesses. Has about 8.7 million followers worldwide. Now, they believe that Jesus was the first and greatest creation of Jehovah God. Jesus, they believe, is not divine. In other words, he's not God. He's more like Michael the Archangel. In fact, they'll actually say he's Michael the Archangel. They don't believe that Jesus bodily resurrected from the dead, that he actually resurrected spiritually. And they also have their own Bible, their own translation called the New World Translation, and they change key scriptures that support the divinity of Jesus Christ. They used to put him in parentheses, but if you look at newer editions, they don't even put the parentheses there. They just change it. And we know what the Bible says about people who change the Word of God. You know, if you change the Word of God, God will rebuke you and make you out to be a liar. And they have predicted the coming of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back in the 20s. They even built a big mansion for them to live in. And of course, they didn't show up. So why waste a good mansion? So the head of the Watchtower organization, the Jehovah's Witness organization, a guy named Judge Rutherford, moved in and lived there. But I mean, again, why waste a good mansion, right? But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never showed up. They have predicted Jesus' return. They say he spiritually returned, and I think it was 1917. But you go back, full of false prophecy, full of false doctrine, and they get people locked into their little cult and their little stuff. And again, it's insidious. I mean, it's very evil. They also don't believe that all but believers will go to heaven except the 144,000 faithful Jehovah Witnesses But they believe that the other people, like your common Jehovah Witness, will just be on paradise earth during the millennial kingdom. Now, these groups are out there casting their nets, trying to get people into their cults, Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah Witnesses, and there's others out there as well. Christian Science, not near as many followers and so forth, but they're out there trying to cast their nets and to get you enslaved into their cult to deceive you because they're part of Satan's network. And so beware of them. That's why we need, you know, Jesus said, don't be deceived. Many people get deceived. It's very sad. Now, the Apostle Peter warns us in 2 Peter about the importance of being aware of false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bringing on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So this is, again, why we need to know the Word of God. Know the authentic really well so that when the counterfeit comes, you spot it right off the bat. You're not going to be deceived. And, of course, we've talked about this before. It has been said, I don't know if they still do it, but for people that work at banks and so forth, to get them trained to spot counterfeit bills, they will send them to the United States Treasury where they actually print the money, and they will just stay there all day and handle new bills, you know, large denominations, 20s, 50s, 100s, and they'll handle those bills. And so they handle them, they get so familiar with it, then when the counterfeit comes across, boom, they spot it instantly. And so the same way with us, we want to know the authentic really well, which is found in the Word of God, and that way when the counterfeit comes, we spot it instantly. Now, as we move on to verse 9, it says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, in the century that preceded us, the 20th century, we had two world wars, wars in which the entire world was involved. And the combined loss of human life due to both World War I and World War II was about 75 million people, or about 5% of the world's population. That's a lot of people. Now, since that time, the world has been involved in smaller wars. Of course, the United States was involved in Korea, Vietnam, and of course, other nations have been at war. And one group actually claims that there's only been about 26 days of peace since the end of World War II. I mean, worldwide, only 26 days of peace since the end of World War II. Others claim it's been much longer, but I think they're more talking about a global conflict like World War I or World War II. Yet Jesus says here in verse 9, but the end will not come immediately. These are all warning signs. They're warning signs that things are heating up. And they have been really doing so since Jesus ascended into heaven, but there have been major prophetic milestones reached really over the last 200 years. Let's think about some of these, like technology. We went from traveling at the speed of horseback to traveling, mass traveling, at close to the speed of sound. When you get in a jet and you fly, you're going very close to the speed of sound. They won't break the sound barrier because the planes aren't really equipped to do that. But they travel real close to the speed of sound. We went from communicating by letters, and maybe these letters being sent by horseback or courier, personal courier, walking them. Now we communicate at close to the speed of light. When you hit that send button on your email and send it, it's going at close to the speed of light. And of course, there was this prophetic super sign. We call it a super sign because it was so huge in Bible prophecy, that took place on May 14th, 1948. And you might have guessed it, it is the return of the Jews to their homeland. Yes, the return of the Jews to their homeland, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And it was a prophecy given to them by God in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. I mean, let's face it, you can't have a covenant by the Antichrist to rebuild the temple without the Jews in their homeland. And also they have Jerusalem too, took place in 1967. Now, we look at these things from a prophetic calendar as in a couple hundred years is really not a big deal. And our world is actually more connected than it's ever been before, where all the things talked about in Bible prophecy, very easy to happen. And I'll be getting into that over the next several weeks. Now, as we look at verse 11, it says, "And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Now, great earthquakes, I think we haven't really heated up to just how much that's going to go on. But we've seen some earthquakes fairly recently that have had great devastating effects. For instance, the one in Indonesia that sent a tsunami throughout the Indian Ocean in 2004. We also saw another earthquake in 2011 that hit most of the area of Japan and the tsunami that followed that. And it always seems that famines are always going on, but they're going to actually get worse during the time of the tribulation. Now, it talks about pestilences, and really what that is things like disease, mass disease. We just had a global pandemic that took place, the COVID-19 or the China virus, whatever you want to call it, but it killed a total of 7.3 million people worldwide. And the World Health Organization is warning that another pandemic is in the near future. We'll see. I mean, how these are going to get set up. Another way they're using these is for global control. But they're being used to set up policies that will actually take away freedoms and national sovereignty. In fact, the U.S. is in the process of giving up its national sovereignty over to the WHO or World Health Organization. And they will say that we're having a pandemic and all the nations of the world must do X, Y, Z, and whatever. And they are, nations are giving their national sovereignty, including the United States, over. So this is part of the plan to get global control of people. And of course, that's where you get the one world government and eventually the kingdom of the Antichrist that's going to be reigning for that 7-year period. Of course, we'll be gone by then. Verse 11, "And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." We're given many future signs regarding the heaven or the sky or space. In Revelation chapter 6, there's not only there's different plagues that hit. One of them is stars falling to the earth like a fig tree dropping its late figs when shaken by a mighty wind. Sounds like meteorites and asteroids hitting the earth like an aerial bombardment. I mean, just think of the devastation that will be caused by meteors like the one that made Meteor Crater in Arizona, hitting major cities and major population areas. It'll be disastrous. There are also going to be, as we're told in the book of Revelation, about 90 to 100 pound hailstones pummeling the earth. That's in Revelation chapter 16. And then the light from the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be affected to where like a third of it darkens. You won't be able to see it. There's also a part where the sun gets so hot it actually begins to burn people's skin just being outside. So it's going to be horrible stuff. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." There'll be no other time like this on earth. Now, verse 12, it says, and back to Luke chapter 21, "But before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You'll be betrayed by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls." This persecution did happen to the early Christians. And as we get closer to the rapture, it will begin to happen to us as well. You see, we don't really mesh with the world. What we think and what we believe from what the Bible says doesn't go on. We don't believe in this LGBTQ agenda. We don't believe that there's men that can become women and women that can become men, because God has made us male or female. It's in every one of our cells. You're either XX chromosome, which is for a woman, or XY chromosome for a man. And there's no change in that. You can change the outside. You can get all the implants and cosmetic surgery and everything else, every one of your cells says, but you're either male or female. Now, again, we're going to see a lot of this happen as we heat up. It's not the wrath of God, it's persecution of my people as we stand for the truth of what God says. Now, this will mostly be fulfilled during the tribulation period, when anyone that doesn't accept the mark of the beast, which is, that's what it's called, the mark of the beast, the allegiance to the Antichrist, will then be hunted down, persecuted, and more than likely beheaded. Again, if we hold to a Christian worldview, there's always going to be a segment of the population that hates us. In fact, I just learned a new word the other day. It's called transtifa. Transtifa, like Antifa, which is sort of like the militant arm of the liberal people out there, and they do, you know, violence and all that kind of stuff. Now you've got transtifa, which is these people that are taking all these drugs or just wax them out, and they go out, they're very violent and so forth like that. We're beginning to see that more and more in our society. But what we're really seeing is a battle that is heating up between light and darkness, between the wicked and the righteous. And so, you know, now we have, of course, this month in June, which is supposed to be Pride Month. I mean, who determined that? Who was the one? Did we have a vote? Did the Senate in the House and the President sign a bill saying this is Pride Month? No, they just determined. They just said this is what it is. This group, back in the early 70s and even beyond, earlier, that they were homosexuals, just say, we just want to be left alone to do our thing. That was never their agenda. They wanted to spread their agenda, and they have taken a very small minority of about 1.5 to maybe 3% of the people, and they've expanded it because they've got a lot of people to sympathize with them, and now they're pushing this transgender stuff. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The good thing is they may have taken it a bridge too far, and people, not just Christians, are starting to rebel against it, like we saw recently with Bud Light and Target stores and so forth like that. So praise the Lord. I'm glad people are beginning to push back. Hopefully Christians will push back. But if you come out about it and there's persecution you may face. But again, I think that we need to stand up. In fact, Proverbs tells us, like a muddied stream or a polluted well is when the righteous give way to the wicked. So we need to stand up for that which is right. Now, it's interesting that Target store, right? They began selling these clothes for, quote, transgender, or because of Pride Month and all this kind of stuff, right? Well, they hired this UK-based brand, Abrillion. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. And the guy that is the designer for Abrillion, this Eric Carnell, is an outspoken Satanist. And he says this. He says, Satan respects pronouns. And it says that on the brand apparel. He also says that passion, pride, and liberty, or it says passion, pride, and liberty, and, or no, I'm sorry, let me say it again, that Satan represents passion, pride, and liberty, and loves all LGBT plus people. So we love LGBTQ plus people. We love all people, but we're not supportive of their agenda because that's not loving. In fact, I believe one of the worst things you could do is tell an LGBTQ person, somebody that's caught up in that, that they're okay. God made them that way. They're going to go to heaven, blah, blah, blah. No. All you got to do is read First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and following, and know that if you're a homosexual, you're not going to heaven. And it just goes there. That's why we must be born again. The great thing is, when you go through that list, it says, and such were some of you, past tense, such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the great thing. You may have been born with those tendencies, which we all are born with sinful tendencies, and we all need to be born again. It may be homosexuality sin, it may be heterosexuality sin, it may be feminist sin as far as just your, a man wants to be feminine and a woman wants to be masculine. It could be abortion, it could be drugs, alcohol, you name it. We all have this sin nature that's dominant until we are born again and we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And then we get a new spirit. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. So I'm no longer a homosexual. I'm no longer a fornicator. I'm no longer an adulterer. I'm no longer an addict to drugs or alcohol or whatnot, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the great thing we have to offer. To say what they're doing is fine and so forth, no, that's spiritual malpractice. That just should never happen. And but I think what's interesting is we're seeing the true colors of the LGBT community, and that is that it is satanic, it is demonically influenced. And so I think that the guy that's designing stuff for the Target stores is actually just gonna reveal that, you know, Satan is behind the whole thing, and he is. Remember, Satan's method of operation, his MO, is the lie, to kill and to destroy. Satan hates people because God loves people. So now as we stand up against these demonic practices, you know, we're going to face some backlash. Look at Riley Gaines, the swimmer who stood up for not having men and women sports and so forth. But that's why we have to work together. And Christians need to come together and stand with those who understand that a biblical worldview and so forth is the right way to go. I think people are waking up. I think this whole transgender thing has been a bridge too far for the LGBT plus Q community, or however you want to say it. But think about after the rapture, when all the Christians are gone, think about the persecution that's going to happen to those who become Christians following the rapture and what they're going to have to face. I mean, it's going to be really bad. And so if you think that going through the tribulation is going to be glamorous in some way, think again, it's not. Now, in the first century, many Christians were arrested, imprisoned, and tortured. And this also happened later on under the Roman Catholic Church with the Inquisitions and persecutions of those who just wanted to get the Bible into the common people's language. And it says, they'll be delivering you up to synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 13, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. You know, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul was brought before the Emperor Nero, and it was said that it was after he had met with Nero and probably witnessed to him, just like he witnessed to Felix and Festus, the governors there in Judea, Roman governors, and of course, King Agrippa, that's when Nero really went off the deep end. Remember, he set Rome on fire. He blamed the Christians and began persecuting the Christians to the point of putting them, killing them in the arenas, the Colosseum, and even lighting his garden parties with human torches made up by Christians. And it was just horrible what he did. But it's believed after that. So he says, it'll be an occasion for you for testimony. He says, therefore, settle it in your hearts. Verse 14, this is chapter 21 of Luke. Verse 14, therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Now, we have a great example of this also in one of the first martyrs of the church, a guy named Stephen. He was brought before the Jewish religious leaders. He gave a great witness for Jesus Christ. And the fact that their forefathers had killed almost every prophet that God sent to them, and now they killed the Messiah. And it says they were cut to the heart. They just gnashed their teeth and they took him out and they stoned him. Now, Stephen didn't say, wait a minute, let me pull out my sermon notes here. And what I was playing, say, no, the Holy Spirit downloaded Stephen on exactly what to say, and he said it well. And so when the time comes, if and when we're ever going to be persecuted or brought before people in this degree, God's going to give us the words to say. We just need to trust him for it. Now, verse 16, it says you're going to be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, relatives, and friends, and they'll put some of you to death. Again, back in the first century, many Jews received Jesus as Messiah, rejected by their families and the community, and some were put to death and imprisoned, just like Stephen and others. And this still happens today, but mostly outside the United States, places like India, places in many Muslim countries, and their families will even kill them. They call it honor killing. And of course, in North Korea, if you're found with the Bible, they will put the whole family in the prison. In fact, I just heard recently that a family, including a 2-year-old child, was put into prison or these camps for life. Is that insane? North Korea. And note what Jesus says in verse 17, and you will be hated by all for your name's sake. But he adds, but not a hair of your head will be lost, and by your patience possess your soul. Kind of a hard scripture to understand, especially when you see that those who stand for righteousness are probably going to be killed, and probably, especially during the tribulation, right? But you know, they can kill our bodies, but they can't do anything other than that. Jesus told us, he says, don't worry about those who can kill your body and after that have nothing more they can do to you. Fear him who could kill, or he who can kill the body and or put both body and soul into hell. He says, I fear him. So our fear only needs to be in the Lord. We don't need to fear man. Again, all they can do is kill us. Yeah, we may go through suffering and so forth, but we're not to fear them. Now, Jesus also may be talking about, as we get our new glorified bodies and our eternal reward, nothing's going to stop that. In fact, that's the great thing. People, they can do what they want to with our body afterwards. And God's going to, you know, give us brand new bodies, and it's going to be great. It won't get old, won't hurt, and so forth. Again, we need to hold on to our belief in Jesus Christ, even during severe persecution. And whatever we have to face, God will bring us through. Just like he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in the book of Daniel through. Remember, they would not bow down to the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so Nebuchadnezzar warned them, said, you know what, I'll give you one more chance. You bow down to my statue when the music plays and, you know, everything will be fine. But they wouldn't do it. They said, we're not going to bow down to your statue, O king. And he says, our God is able to rescue us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to you. And so the king got so mad, he heated up this fiery furnace, 7 times hotter than it's ever been. He had them bound. He had them taken up. And even the guys that took these guys up to the top of the furnace to throw them in died. And they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into this fiery furnace. They went down into the flames. And somehow King Nebuchadnezzar was sitting there, and he could see inside the furnace, but it's been kind of an opening at the bottom. And he says, didn't we throw 3 people into the furnace? And they said, yeah. He said, I see 4 people walking around unbound, and one looks like the Son of God. Well, that's because Jesus was with them. And he told them to come out, and they brought him out, and all their bonds, you know, the ties upon their hands and legs were completely gone, and they didn't even smell like smoke. God watched over them. And God will bring us through whatever he brings us to. How he does that is going to be up to him. But always remember, all they can do is destroy our bodies. They can't destroy our spirit. And not even a hair of our head will be lost or anything be lost, because we'll have it in all eternity. Well, that's all we're going to get to today. Next week, we'll cover some more. But we're going to go through a lot of Bible prophecy in the next several weeks, so don't miss any of it. And we got a great hope and a great future to look forward to. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you and we praise you for all your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you have a great plan for us, Lord. And so may we hold to that which is true, reject that which is false. Help us to know the authentic about you really well, so that we won't be deceived. And Lord, use us as ambassadors to the people whom you have put into our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for those opportunities. We thank you also, Lord, that it is your desire that none perish, all come to repentance. So we thank you, we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining us. We'll have another one posted here real soon on as we further go through Luke chapter 21. And then I'm going to be talking also about not only the rapture and the whole layout of the end times prophecy, the chronology of it, and also a lot of the modern day things that are going on that really show that the time is short. So till next time, may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.